Thank you. This is Bill Crozier calling the PNB Elections Committee meeting to order. It's Thursday, August 11th, 2016. It's 7:47 p.m. Central Time, 8:47 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:47 Pacific Time. Nancy, can you call the roll for us, please?
Yes. KPFA? Sharon Adams? Sharon, I cannot hear you. Anthony Fest? Anthony, I cannot hear you. Okay, KPFK, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace present. Fred Blair.
Present.
Fred present. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Jan present. Charles Fredericks.
Present.
Charles present. Okay, WBAI, Bob Letterer.
Here.
Bob present. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Serene present. Okay. Frank Lefevre. Frank, I cannot hear you. Okay, next is KPFT. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Wesley present. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Bill present. Nancy Saibara Naditomi, I'm present. Deb Shafto. Deb, I cannot hear you. Okay, WPFW, Jim Brown.
Here. Yeah.
Jim, present. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Eric, present. Nancy Sorden.
Here.
Nancy Sorden, present. Marion Douglas Ungaro. Marion, I cannot hear you. Bill, Marion said she's having trouble to participate, but she can hear us the last time. She says she does not know how this system works, so I don't know what I told her. I don't know what to say. Anyway, I told her to try and email me, and if I can see her email, I'll relay her comments.
Okay, well, Mary, if you're here, just hang up and call back. Sometimes that works. You might be muted without knowing it, and if you call back in, that should clear it. Okay. Well, thank you, Nancy. So we have quorum.
Let me just say something quickly. I've called into this number a couple times before, and it's been diverted to a different number. And I'm pretty positive I dialed the correct number.
The phone number or the conference code number?
The number itself, the toll-free number.
Huh. Has anybody else had that problem? Okay, so were you able to just call back in and it worked?
I was. This is not the only toll-free number it's happened to. It happens on the net, too. I get messages from, anyway, that's separate, but, the call is intercepted. As I said, it's happened more than once. It's happened. Not frequently, but it happens, with other toll-free numbers.
Well, this is not toll-free, but sorry. Okay, Nancy, your point of information?
I just finished roll call. Did anybody else join?
Anthony here, just arrived.
Oh, okay, Anthony. Present. A little late, but present. Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Okay, good, thanks. Okay, well, the next item is a timekeeper. Who can be timekeeper for us tonight?
Fred did an excellent job last time.
I guess I'll have to volunteer again.
Okay, thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda approval, let me just read it for anybody listening on the stream or who doesn't have it. Call to order and roll call, which we just did. Appointment of timekeeper, we just did. Agenda approval, which we're on now for 5 minutes. Approved minutes from the June 28th and July 20th committee meetings, 10 minutes. Report from Lynn Serpy, the 2016 National Elections Supervisor, and Q&A for 45 minutes. I have time certain of 9 p.m. Eastern Time for that. Number six, report from the working group / discussion and discussion on that, problems with the 2015 and past elections and potential areas for improvement, 30 minutes for that item. Review action items, 5 minutes. Next meeting date for the Elections Committee, 5 minutes. And adjourned by 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Do I hear a motion to adopt that agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Any changes? Okay, hearing none, is any objections to approving it as I read it? Hearing none, then the agenda is adopted. Thank you. Okay, next item is approved minutes from the June 28th and the July 20th committee meetings. Nancy, you want to give us a status on those? Nancy Sabara-Nartomi?
Yes. Please let me have some more time. Sorry.
Jan Goodman, point of order.
Yes.
Okay, Jan.
Since Lynn Serpy is due on the call in 7 minutes, if there's any preparation that we need to make with regard to her, should we make it, should we adjust the agenda so that it includes preparation time for her and do that right now so that once she comes on, we're totally prepared to utilize her time?
Probably. Let me just first clarify, did you have anything else to say about Nancy about the minutes then? Just need more time?
Yes, that's all.
Okay. Well, if anybody has any questions, I know she did send out partial minutes for the last two meetings. You could just email Nancy, I guess. If you see any corrections, perhaps you could incorporate those. Well, the next item then is the report from Lynn Serpy. So are there any objections then to doing what Jan was suggesting? So if we need to adjust anything else in the next 6 minutes before she calls in? Okay, hearing none, then any adjustments we need to make on the agenda? If that's what you were suggesting?
I think that we should, if you're directing that to me, Jan, I think that we should make a list of questions that we want to ask her so that we can be kind of efficient about it and not just be random.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to suggest that she give a report first, as she's been doing, and then we can have questions that may come up from whatever she says. But if you have other questions in advance, we could mention those to her so she could address them. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was just thinking if anybody had questions in advance that we could, you know, have her talk about that. One of the questions that I have for us, if we know, is whether or not we have the funds to pay the other part of the election expenses.
Yeah, that was a similar question to what I had. We have more slots than we do candidates, and I'm at loss why we're being forced to have this election.
You're talking about WPFW?
Yeah, and I was the response that came back is that it had something to do with write-ins. You know, which strikes me as odd because the people who would be written in had the same opportunity to go through the process as the current candidates. You know, so.
Well, I can partially answer that, and of course you can ask Lynn of that also when she gets on the call. But at the PNB meeting last week, it was discussed, and Lynn also provided some information since then, I believe by email, that there were some assumptions made that weren't quite correct, that a lot of the expenses had already been incurred. A lot of the printing had already been done, for example, for the ballot mailing, and that part of the ballot mailing will include a request for donations. So if they don't get mailed out, then that donation request won't get set out either. And there are going to be write-in slots on the ballot so that additional people could run as write-in candidates.
And secondarily, it's just something, I don't know if it sounds like a nitpick. I won't ask her if other people on the call think it's irrelevant, but I'm curious how it was decided which local election supervisor would be assigned or where, because I talked to senior management at PFW, and the relationship we had was less than cordial. Having said that, I don't know if the LES services were effective, but we did ask for someone else, and Mr. Levine was imposed on us. We were told you're going to take him regardless. I was just curious how a determination was made who would go where.
Well, I don't know exactly, but the bylaws do say that the National Election Supervisor, you know, hires the LESs.
Okay.
But I don't know what process it was going through. I know the whole thing was somewhat in a hurry because the NES was not hired until May, I think somewhat late in May, or it was just before the election was the domination period was supposed to start. so there wasn't okay, much think, time to hire the aliases either.
Okay, I think you satisfactorily answered the first question. I'd like to pursue the second one as well.
Yeah, well, you can certainly ask her when she gets on. Okay. Oh, did somebody else join the call since I heard a beep?
Yeah, this is Marion in Washington.
Okay,
oh,
great.
Good.
Thanks.
Okay.
We're waiting for Lynn Serpy to get on the call, which should be in about 2 or 3 minutes if she's on schedule. And we're just kind of going over questions that we might want to ask her.
Nancy, I want to say something about how much money we or do we have money left to pay, that kind of question. I don't think that's an appropriate question for the NES. She doesn't know our ED should know that, the CFO, but I don't think the NES knows whether we can afford it or not. Maybe I misunderstood the question, but...
Well, you can ask her anything you want. I mean, that might be what she says, but...
Well,
I'm interested... Go ahead.
We need every dime. We need every nickel we had at PFW. Literally every nickel. We certainly don't need... We're certainly not volunteering to incur any additional cost that we don't need to, but... I'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I was wondering about that on the envelopes. I don't know if they've been printed yet, but if we could ask some creative question, like would you like to donate for the election or something like that, I think that's appropriate to ask. People do that sometimes, but if we ask, we might get more money. Of course, the counting is of the checks and all the money will be done by the election company. And last time, I don't think we had... It wasn't clear to me, how much went to which station, and we still haven't gotten that information. Maybe we should word it differently, like send it directly to the station, or...
information are you talking, Nancy?
I'm talking about, when people put in their ballot, in the envelope, they put their ballot in. Sometimes they put checks for donating for the elections.
Right.
And so the breakdown or the itemization was not done, in my opinion, the last time. So we still didn't get any information from the CFO. So because each station pays for their own election. It comes out of their own budget.
And right. I remember asking about that, and I don't think the previous election supervisor ever gave us – I don't even know what the total was, much less the breakdown by station.
Well,
does anybody else know?
Jan Goodman on the stack.
Yes, Jan?
I just wanted to address this issue about each station paying for their own mailing. That is not in the bylaws, and I think that...
Oh, I hear the NES.
Okay, well, could we go on and let Lynn give us a report? We were just kind of going over potential questions to ask Lynn. But it's time, so if you'd like to go ahead and... jump in and give us your report, and then we'll have to take questions. That would be fine.
Okay, great. So the ballots will go out on Monday, August 15th. All the information's been sent to the ballot company as far as all the candidate names and all the stations, all the mailing lists. The mailing list process was, as every single report I read and every single person I talked to warned us, that process was excruciatingly painful to get the information we needed from the different stations. Deadline after deadline after deadline was missed. Quite a few people, not just the LES, but sometimes station staff had to go significantly above and beyond. For example, I've mentioned that Vitaria over at WPFW, there was one night last Wednesday, I think she worked until 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to get the list, and then still sent me stuff on Friday, on Thursday, after going home and sleeping for a few hours. So the process of pulling the list together, which we started pretty much like from day one, was definitely an issue that, as every report has mentioned, really needs to be addressed. Anyway, so that causes a lot of just stress on everyone and takes up an enormous amount of time because you want to make sure it's going well. And so, but it's done. So that information is into the ballot company. And so what happens is that we have mailing addresses for most people. We have mailing addresses and email addresses for some people. And then there's a few people that we never got mailing addresses for, but we have email addresses for. So what will happen is the ballots will go out next week. And then based on my discussions with the ballot company, some prior discussions prior to this call, and then the feedback I get on the call today, what I would expect is that about four days later, maybe on Thursday, the ballot company will send an email to everyone that we have an email address for, basically including the link and the information about how they can vote online. The ballot company is able to send each week a reminder email to people, and what will happen is as the ballots are returned, they'll either be returned as paper ballots or people will vote online. And so when they're returned as paper ballots, they will be scanned. I think I discussed this on the call last time. Through the window, there will be a barcode so the ballot company can scan the ballot back. It'll tell them which station that ballot is from and whether it's a staff or a listener ballot. At the same time, people who vote online, that information and those two databases are combined so that I can get regular reports from the ballot company as far as how well we're doing in terms of voter turnout and how close we are to achieving quorum. So one thing I did want to flag that I had mentioned during the nomination phase is an option that some stations may want to consider as we get closer to the September 30th date. All that expensive relative to other types of outreach, but that automated phone calls or even calls to text can be done because one of the things that the list does have in many cases are phone numbers. That's something I consider in the last week or two as we're getting closer, if it seems like we're very far away from quorum, because of course it seems as though there will always be that rush at the end. So, several people and so that process is happening. There's a confidentiality agreement with the mailing houses.
Are you still there, Lynn? Oh, okay.
Confidentiality with who?
Well,
the mailing house.
She may still be talking to herself. Shouldn't we call her?
Well, she said she was going to be on a bus, and depending on cell phone coverage, she might drop. But I had asked her beforehand to call back in whenever she could. So
well,
I'm assuming that's what may
herself.
Have happened.
I got dropped off a call back. So I was talking about mailing lists. So I've been in contact with the mailing companies, mailing houses that I've been put in contact with, and they're confirming confidentiality. The groups that are sending out mailing lists are putting on disclaimers, and so I know that process is happening. I don't think I'm allowed to go into any detail about which people or which groups have asked for it. I think I'm up to 5 different requests that we're processing in terms of that scenario and setup. Most of the work that the LESs are dealing with right now is a combination of the different candidates all recorded their carts, and so then it's dealing with the cart rotations to get them on air in a way that's fair and equitable across the sort of different time slots based on the PND guidelines that were passed last year. And so that's been taking up a lot of time, especially for those stations that have a lot of candidates. And then the next thing they're working on is the candidate forums. So I had, based on, I think, a call about a month or so ago where we had a discussion about when in the process to try to schedule the forums, had sort of recommended that probably the sort of week or two after Labor Day might be the best time. And the LESs then went to their stations to discuss times for that, and in some cases that was right around when they were given slots, in other cases a little earlier, not too many cases a little later, and so then basically the LESs are in the process of basically, getting candidates assigned to the candidate forums. And as we've been discussing the format of those candidate forums, which generally are an hour in length, according to the PND guidelines, no more than 5 candidates should be participating in any one 5-hour segment. So the LES are trying to, where possible, hold it to maybe 4 at a time And so we've sort of blocked out a format that could, you know, between opening statements by candidates, questions asked by the LESs, responses by the candidates, and then an opportunity for call-ins. And that's something else I wanted to get feedback on tonight. The call-in process seems like it could get potentially messy if people call in and start making either inappropriate comments. If you have, you know, 26 candidates and you have to have 7 different forums, obviously different people are to call in at different times. So the information that the candidates are giving out in response to those questions are going to be different depending on who the call-in person is. I don't know if possible or not. Someone at the station could perhaps take down the question from the caller and then, like, pass it to them to read, which could at least maybe keep things timely and avoid having people, you know, make a statement rather than a question, could avoid people perhaps saying things that would be inappropriate about other candidates, things like that. So I did want some feedback on that piece of it because that's something that myself nor any of the other LES have any experience with here at Pacifica. So the other piece that the LES are preparing for is that they've all started to compile the candidate pamphlets so that if people make requests for the candidate pamphlets, they're able to send those out. There is a process, that the ballot company provides. There's an online login and a database, so if someone does call and ask for a replacement ballot, the LES can go in, log that request, and then either a replacement paper or email ballot would be sent out, or email instructions for voting online, I should say, would be sent out. As much as possible, we'll sort of mention to people that, you know, how easy it is to just send them the link for them to do online voting versus a paper ballot. There is a cost difference there as well. But obviously, whatever it is that people need, that's what we'll supply for them. So there have been complaints coming in, and they are being addressed. There's one station that has a lot of complaints, and it's maybe a small number of people making most of the complaints, and I think that LES is having a hard time keeping up because that LES also has a lot of candidates, which then means, you know, recording all the carts takes time, scheduling them all for their debates takes time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there is, you know, one station that I'm a little concerned about, but they seem to be moving forward, and, you know, and the ballots will go out just like with everyone else. So here and there I have to, you know, remind people that, of course, myself and the LES are all part-time, and so sometimes people will email one of us at, you know, 8:30 at night on a Friday, and then they don't get an email back until a Monday, and they've kind of, you know, sort of escalated their contact or made multiple emails, and it's just that recognition that we are part-time, and that generally if you wait until late on a Friday, you're probably not going to get an answer until Monday. Although we do try to check our emails, it is the fact that we're part-time, and quite a few of the LES have other commitments in particular, and I don't know how appropriate it is, but there is one of the LES is dealing with a significant family issue. A family member is very, very ill. And so that LES is still doing the work, but is definitely not able to go above and beyond in the way that sometimes the LES have done, especially in regards to the list. So I'm trying where possible to kind of pick up the slack a little bit. It's possible that I may need to go and moderate one of the forums if that person's family member gets even sicker. So let's see. What else can I give a report about? I'll just stop there, and then we can hopefully address the two things that I wanted some advice on, which was the right timing of the emails. So I'll go back to that one in just a second. And then the call-in of the candidate forum, which is probably one I even need a little more guidance on. The last piece, as always, which is that help with promotion and outreach, we much appreciated. Obviously, you know, there is a 10% forum that ideally will be made by September 30th. As part of the email process, the ballot company can send out those reminder emails each week. And as a person's ballot is returned either by mail or because they voted online, they should be dropped off that, you know, email reminder because it's, you know, through the database. I plan on sending a wide email blast on Monday to let everyone know what the process is, and then probably every 2 weeks or so just sending an update. And then I know that the LES are also scheduling stuff within their own studios. They've already been back in contact with their managers to try to get the election information re-highlighted back on the homepage of their site, and to try to start the rounds of all the Facebook posts and Twitter announcements that they had been doing a lot more of during the nomination phase. And so similarly with the nomination phase, we're asking everyone to kind of help spread the word to their own network, et cetera, that something will be extremely helpful so that we can achieve quorum, so that once all the ballots are returned to true ballots, they're being mailed from their facility in Connecticut and they're being returned to their facility in California. For those of you who are curious, that and order bright yellow colored envelopes. One of the vice presidents at True Ballot sent me a picture of the envelope, and he said that it's even brighter in person. So the LES are all recording carts that basically will start next week saying, be on the lookout for, you know, your ballot in a bright yellow envelope. That's pretty much the language of the cart. And so I'll make sure to use that same language in the email blast I'll send out. So the timeline right now is I'll send out on Monday a kind of be on the lookout email, and then the mail itself will be dropped on Monday. Get guidance on briefly is when to have the ballot company send out their first round of emails. I had originally been thinking just to do it on Monday, but I've been definitely convinced to wait until like Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The ballot company themselves thought Thursday or Friday would be fine. And then the question about the call-ins for the candidate forum. Thank you.
Dan Goodman on the stack.
And Bob.
Okay, who else wants to be on the stack?
And Nancy.
Dan, Bob.
And Shireen. And Nancy, KPFC.
Anthony.
Okay. All right.
Did you hear me?
I have Jan, Bob, Serene, Nancy, Nashabara, Tommy, and Anthony.
Okay, thanks.
Is there somebody else? Okay. So, Jan, go ahead.
I just think that the more emails, the better. So, you know, starting, you know, when you, I think it's a great idea to send a mass email at the very beginning saying, here's the process, keep a lookout for the yellow envelope or whatever. And,
okay.
You know, they do it weekly, right? And I think in terms of the call-ins, I think it's a great idea to have a staff member or somebody go over them and just pull out what the question is. And if they could also perhaps even have an email address to accept questions, that
right.
might be another good way to get questions and then feed them to the person who's
right.
moderating, so you keep
oh, okay.
it as neutral as possible.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Lynn, do you want to respond to that? Or?
No. I mean, one of the things that I've asked all the LES to find out is whether or not there is either someone who might be in the studio at the time that they've been given, because different stations have different times for the forums, who basically could act as like that runner, because I'm going to assume that who's ever like the traffic engineer for the show, you know, the or whatever the right word is, I'm sorry, has to be like stay where they are, and then the moderator stay where they are. So we might need like either a runner to either be. And so I don't know. I had mentioned to one of the LES to find out whether or not there might be additional staff, or that might be something that, you know, maybe a local member of an election committee could help with, someone who could just kind of help facilitate that process. So I love the idea of it being sent through email. I'd originally tried to toy with the idea of maybe this is something that we could announce in advance that people could send in. We could post about it that people could send in. But it seemed to me that the bylaws sort of made it sound as though it has to be a call-in as opposed to just, like, soliciting questions in advance. and that was part of where I needed the guidance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bob?
Thanks. Three things. First, thanks for a really thorough report, Lynn. Number one is, have you thought about announcing at some point soon a public deadline by which if people who believe that they are qualified members have not gotten their ballots, that they can then inquire and, you know, give the email
right.
address and phone number of the LES?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and are you planning to do a cart and a website notice about that?
So,
every election has lots of confusion and lots of, who to call. They call the station manager. They call people because they don't know where to go and what to do.
Right. So the two pieces on that, yes, I'll include it in my first email that goes out on Monday. On the back side of every ballot, there's pretty detailed instructions, not just on how to vote with kind of like a sample ballot, but also how to request a replacement ballot, how to request a candidate pamphlet, and it lists the LES's phone number and their email address. When I was speaking with the ballot company today, asking them for a recommendation, they were saying that I would probably try to recommend that, like, no request for replacement ballots maybe start the following Wednesday, figuring that would give time for all the ballots to arrive.
I'm sorry, what date? I didn't hear that. The
following
Wednesday, a week and a half after ballots are sent?
His suggestion was that, because people may not get the ballots until, say, Wednesday,
right.
Thursday, Friday, so that rather than getting a flood of requests, like, the first week, and then processing them, which, will cost money, and that was his suggestion. I'm open. He was basing it based on, his experience. And then also we talked about, which you didn't raise, but I might as well mention, we talked about, like, when to stop that process. So in the instructions, there's a deadline for when you can request a candidate pamphlet. There's no deadline.
You're breaking up, Lynn.
Sorry. Yeah.
We heard there's no deadline.
Graham, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. So there's the part in the front, and then there's, like, at the end of the cycle, people will be able to do online voting through, the very end on September 30th, but there'll be a point where we will need to cut off when people can request a replacement paper ballot, just because the amount to them and then be returned. And so sometime in that last week,
okay,
that the LESs have recorded.
Deadline for requesting a
report. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'm not sure. I was going to say the cart this upcoming week is be on the lookout for the ballot. The cart next week is about requesting a replacement ballot. So I think it's basically similar to what Bob was suggesting. That's already the plan.
Okay.
And I think he had a second or third question.
Two more. Can you publish ASAP, which was done in the last few elections, the numbers of members, listeners and staff at all five stations on the website? Or at least circulate it to the committee.
Okay. Yeah. So let me, I can do that, definitely. What I do want to say is that, it's just something that, as I mentioned, there are people that we only have mailing address. There's people who we have no mailing address for, but we have an email address for, as well as people we have mailing and email and people we just have mailing.
Sure.
And the reason I mention that is because that, like, some groups, as I mentioned, are like requesting mailing lists, and they might wonder why the numbers don't match up, and that's why. So I'm happy to do it. I just want people to understand that the numbers may not match up, and while it sounds suspicious, it's just because we don't actually have mailing addresses for everyone. So if you have a mailing house and they're going to run the list of just the people that they have a mailing address for, because they have a mailing house, that number is going to be different.
Sure. Okay.
So I've been hesitant to publish stuff without that big long caveat, unless it was required, because I'm not sure. I'm always worried about creating confusion.
I think it's fine to just use the caveat.
Okay.
We don't understand that.
Okay.
Yeah. Last question. Quick feedback on your on one of the earlier suggestions about how to handle questions during the on-air forum. We've never had any sifting process in any of the 8 previous forums, and I think it's a risky thing to get going on. First of all, staff cannot be presumed to be neutral. Staff sometimes have their own alliances or, pro or con.
And so I think
we should empower them or really anyone else to sift through a statement someone makes or a combination statement and question and sift out, well, this part's the statement. However, there is, at least at BAI, but I think it's at all 5 stations, a 7-second delay equipment so that all broadcasts are 7 seconds after real time. So in those 7 seconds, if something that's a blatant violation of the rules gets uttered, then there can be an arrangement. The LES can work out in advance with the engineer to say, look, if I give you the signal to dump that caller, you got to react quick. And then callers need to be told, don't listen to your phone, listen to the radio for the response, because it'll be seconds later.
Okay, and just real quick, so I had suggested perhaps the election committee, because the sort of issue of neutrality that you mentioned, is that something you wouldn't recommend either?
Well, I don't know. We don't have an elections committee at BAI. I don't know.
Other people
can speak for their stations. But
again,
I think you run into the same risk that if anyone other than an LES or an NES is involved, it introduces the possibility of bias creeping in, even unconscious bias.
Right. Okay, now that's why I wanted feedback, because, I mean, hopefully you guys understand that I'm asking this not to try to curtail questions, but to try to keep things fairly timely and fairly, and to keep them fair campaign provision compliant. Okay, great. Thank you, Bob.
And just last thing, everyone should have a time limit for the questions.
Yes.
So at least that part is uniform, that they're cut off when they reach their time limit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great.
Okay, thanks. Let's move on to the next person. Serene?
Dan Goodman, I'll come back if everybody else finished.
Okay.
I have a question that's not directly related to the report, but I'd like to ask, but I'll wait till the end if I might. This is Eric.
Is that Anthony? Yeah. Or Eric? Okay.
This is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack also.
Okay. Eric, Grace. All right. And Jan again. All right. Well, go ahead, Serene.
Okay. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for joining us. I have 2 concerns. One is with regard to the cart rotation.
Okay.
I would like to know whether, in fact, the election supervisors are listening to the carts and then deciding on the order in which they'll be played, or whether local staff is involved with that. That's one. And 2, with regard to the fair campaign provision, I'd like to know what the process is for recording the violation and for notifying the membership of the violations.
Sure. Okay. So with the cart rotation, and it's taken a little while for me to get up to speed on it, and then the issue is, of course, that not every station does it exactly the same. So what I did is I provided the LESs with the PND resolution that was passed, and so in that resolution, it's that minimum criteria for a minimum number of minutes per day. So, for example, if you had 24 candidates, you're looking at least 8 minutes per day, things like that. I sent that same information to the general managers and program directors. So my understanding that in most of the stations, the program directors let the local election supervisors know what spots were available. And so they would basically say something like, okay, you have, let's say 6 candidates, and these are the spots that are available. And then the local election supervisor would then basically randomly assign, Lynn is spot number 1, and Serena is spot number 2, and Bob is spot number 3, and Bill is spot number 4. And then what I've asked them to do is, you know, sort of week by week, either modify that rotation in a randomized way, or taking a look at the coverage over the course of the, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, depending on when they start. Some stations had like fun drives that was like a week and a half ago, and so they wanted to wait to start until last week. And that part was fine. Their language in the idea about what to do during fun drives in September, and I expect some stations have already kind of given a little pushback on that. But so at this point, I'm stating they've provided what the time slots could be, and then the LES has then said, okay, this person in this time slot, this person in that time slot. So it's the LES making that decision, and then what I requested, like I said, is that then, you know, we'll get it week, the week after that, and decide whether or not, whether and what type of rotation is needed, because there's the 5 time slots, the morning drive, midday, what evening drive, or afternoon drive, evening and overnight. And it is a little different in a station that has 6 candidates versus a station that has 35 candidates. Like, for example, WPFW, who only has 6 candidates, I don't think they're even doing a single overnight spot. They're mostly focusing on those sort of daytime ones. And so that's that process. The second question you asked about was, I've already forgotten already now. I'm sorry. What was the second question?
Fair campaign provisions and...
Thank you. Okay, right. Right. So on the website, there's 2 pages. There's a report of campaign violation page, and then directly under it, the violation investigations page. And so when the investigations are completed, what happens is that information is it sort of up online. So the system I'm using, similar to what we did during the nomination phase, I'm using the system that was set up by Terry Boricius and Otis McClay back in 2012. So it's a kind of back-end system. And so there's 2 places that the violation investigation can be posted. If it is regarding a candidate who made the violation, it will be attached to that candidate's page. And on the violation investigations page, if it's a staff member or someone else who isn't a candidate, then it'll be on the violation investigations page. And I made that modification because the process, the system that Terry and Otis had put together was geared solely towards promoting the violations that candidates had done, but it seemed from early on, from several of the first few complaints that were coming in, that there were complaints being made against staff. And we wanted people to be aware that these things were happening, and so I asked for a second, public promotion category to be established. And so... So that's that piece. And then as far as the process itself, so when you go to the reported campaign violation page, there is a sort of process that's supposed to be followed. And then I added in an appeal process because I was asked about that. Within that back-end structure that Terry and Otis put together, there is an opportunity for an appeal that then would be listed. And then the rulings right now are the rulings of the local election supervisors. And so if there was an appeal that I would either, uphold or perhaps reverse, then it would be clear in that ruling that that was, like, the national election supervisor piece. So some of the investigations are taking quite a bit longer than I had expected, and I can't really fully understand personally why. I've been trying to empower the local election supervisors to handle it. And as I mentioned, some of them are a little more swamped than others. It's an area of pretty outstanding violations as of this point resolved by the time the ballots go out. And then at that point, pretty much a station that they will have a complaint or 2, so they will have gone through the process.
You're breaking up again, by the way. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. I mean, I told you they might be traveling. There's not so much I can do about it. I can't get off the bus. So that's what the process is, and that's where it's published.
Okay, thank you. Does that answer your question, Serene?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now, okay.
Okay, thanks. If it's an on-air violation, is the finding, if it in fact warrants some sort of discipline, is that being that information being given on the air?
So at this point it has not been, because at this point, up until today, I think there was going to be a candidate notified of a violation. There hadn't been a candidate violation, and I was also not sure whether it was appropriate to announce candidate violations on the air, under the idea of sort of fair campaign provisions, if you mention one candidate versus another. So right now that's where the information is, just like all the candidate wrong statements, the cart, the pictures, the optional questionnaires and things like that. There is at least one ruling that I've been verbally informed that there'll be an appeal on. I have not yet received the official notification of that. And so I am reluctant to go on air when there's a possibility of an appeal for these issues. Because it's a little, if something's online and there's this sort of whole process and they can see the whole thing, but if you announce something and then you have to go back and announce a change, I'm just a little nervous about that.
Okay, I'd like to get back on the stack. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I want to follow up, but I realize others want to speak.
Okay, Nancy Sabarnertomi is next.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Are you in the toilet? So quiet.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear any of that.
Okay, it's not important. The listeners' participation in helping to ensure a good election, a correct election, would there be a PSA to let them know if the card schedule is published and where it is, and then if you're checking and you hear something or somebody forgot to play one, that they could, what email to complain to? Or is there some procedure for the staff if they forget and then they play it later on and they say, sorry, I should have played it this time, and give a note to the LES report? I mean, is there that kind of thing? I think that would be nice if you had it. And you don't, do you?
No, I do. It's all available online. I mean, the report of complaint violation includes a complaint about the cart rotation. I mean, it's about, being fair. And so if a cart's not played when it's supposed to be played, or someone's cart is played more than once, then the process is that they report the campaign violation. As far as creating a cart to announce that online, I have to be honest that I'm a little, like, it's been a struggle to get the stations to even be willing to air the candidate carts, especially with the fund drives. And so when you're adding the candidate carts, and we're adding 2, 3, 4, 5 different LES carts on top of that.
I think you should definitely give this committee a report, or the PNB, of any uncooperative management, because this, we are also responsible
right.
for oversight of management, so we need to
right.
know that kind of stuff, and we need to have evidence, and if nobody says anything to us, then we don't know. Okay, so I was just thinking to enlist the help of the listeners, because some of these candidates, they're working during the day, they can't even listen to see if their own thing was played in correct time or not. Okay, next thing, so I'm hoping there'll be a PSA to enlist, help the listeners to who don't necessarily.
Is that typical? Is that typical? Because I'm just curious. Is that typical? Is that something that's done in every election?
Something is done in every, what do you mean?
Is that type of card usually done?
I don't think it's been like that in the past, but maybe occasionally.
Okay, no, I'm just.
Not on a regular basis, I don't think.
This is the first election to have the card schedule published. I mean, I really, thank you. I'm on my knees and kissing the ground. Thank you very much to get that done, because we have no way to
right.
oversight check. So this
right.
helps election committee people or LSBs who are interested in a fair election. But, I mean, if we could
right.
just listeners to know where you want to check or help out the remind the programmer. And getting a call from the audience, the programmers would be more encouraged to get their act together. And I'm not saying that they're all uncooperative, but they need to know. Okay, another thing is about the staff. You know, the staff at my station, the KPFT, they hardly know each other. They've been working like 30 years volunteering, and they've never met each other. I've introduced some of them, you know, but it would be nice if there was like a video, a little DVD at the station. They could play it, and they could see the others that are running, or maybe have a teleconference. Each one talks and then answers questions. Something for the staff, because the staff really do not know each other at all. And the other thing is, I really feel they suffer a lot more. We get a lot of time, the listeners do. Okay, and then other thing is, on the envelope, printing all finished, and you cannot add anything else, like, you know, lots of volunteer hours and lots of part-time supervisors and election company have been put into this. And please vote, because, you know, we put in a lot of effort, and also... even a blank ballot will help to make quorum, and maybe even have to say what quorum is, you know, like 10% of members. Are you there? Did we lose you? Hello?
We'll keep going, Nancy. It's recorded, so...
Okay. Ah! Oh, I feel funny talking to nobody. Anyway, Bob, thank you for asking for the numbers of the voters. Thank you, Bob. I think we should email her written so she won't forget. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Let me check your Lynn. Are you on the call? I think that was who dropped.
No.
Let me just clarify, and please remind me to tell her this. I just clarify something I interjected there earlier. I know in the past there have been your regular announcements about if you have any questions or issues, call the LES.
I'm sorry. I'm back.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Glenn.
Okay.
I was just saying, to correct or clarify something I expected earlier, in the past there have been some semi-regular announcements, not as often as all the candidate cards, but to tell listeners if you have any questions or issues or whatever, call and contact the LES.
There's all these cards like that the LESs are going to be recording. I just was trying to figure out like at what point. Yeah, so I'll make sure. I think the cart that was scheduled for next week, which was just a be on the lookout cart, but the following one that's going to be this is what the replacement ballot process is, that one will definitely include, again, their phone number and email contact. So, yeah, no, that's a very good reminder. Thank you.
Okay. Did you finish, Nancy?
No, I didn't. If there was, he would give us some kind of notice that you're going to ask the management to play some promotional cards for the election, and then what time this is supposed to be played, then we'd have evidence that, well, listen, if it's not played, then we can go after them, you know. And then about the mailings, have they already said something about, you know, a lot of volunteer hours, a lot of cost and time and effort gone into this election? Please vote, even a blank ballot. Will help quorum, and what quorum is 10% of the membership. I mean,
I'm confused. I'm sorry. I don't actually understand that last question, Nancy. I apologize, but I'm not sure what you're asking with that last bit.
Yeah, even returning a blank ballot will count for quorum, even if they don't have time to read and they don't want to, you know, make a decision.
Right.
If they
right.
just mail
okay.
back, it'll count for quorum.
Yes.
We're telling people. And so,
do you want me to promote that?
No, I just want to know if it's written on there. I mean, we do use that. Some of the programmers, some programmers really are, you know, interested in the election, and some are not so. But those that are elections say, yes, if you don't have time, at least mail back a return, a vote, a blank ballot. Okay, and then one more thing about the, I think I finished about the staff. I wish there was some way they could be able to see and hear each other and then give questions, answers, like maybe a teleconference or something. And the other thing is about donations for the elections. The company, we still have not gotten some accounting and itemization from the last. You know, people put checks in the envelope with their ballots. Are you there still, Lynn? Are you there? Yeah. Lynn? No, she's gone. Okay, never mind. I didn't get that far.
Okay, I was going to suggest if we lose her for any significant amount of time, you know, if any of you want to email me or her, all of it, or email her and I'll just give me your questions, then maybe she can answer them when she gets an opportunity. It's nice to do it here during the meeting so the public can hear, but she wasn't sure about her cell phone coverage. Was that the only thing you were going to say, though, Nancy?
Yeah, except one more thing, and it's kind of what Bob said already. But Lynn, are you there? No. About the 8-second delay. At our station, it's 8 seconds, we're told, and I guess at BAI, it's 7 seconds. Because in one election, a caller. Are you there, Lynn? No. Okay. A caller called in and said, did you commit this crime? And the LES just let her go on and on, this caller, and she should have dumped it, you know. Is that Lynn?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Okay, never mind. I was just going to say be careful because, you know, you could get sued for not dumping it, you know, that kind of thing. Some people are naughty little boys and girls. All right. I think
Lynn did make a good point about, or whoever it was, about having it, or it was Bob, made a time limit on the caller questions because, you know, people are used to calling in on talk shows and just giving a really long statement. And maybe not even asking a question. So,
excuse me, Bill, that you misunderstood. I mean, when something you hear it, you know, in real time, if something bad is being said by a caller.
Yeah, no, I know that's different than what you're saying, right? Yeah, I'm not going to an expletive, one of the FCC banned words.
Elias is responsible for dumping it and not letting it go on the air and in the archives. You know, somebody attacking a candidate through another person. Okay, never mind. I'm finished.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Lynn to come back.
Well, I hope she plays this thing if she has time.
Let me suggest we're being screened right now.
Is that correct?
Yes. Let me just suggest we're waiting for Lynn to come back. Do we want to pick a date for the next meeting, or at least possibilities, and then we can check with her when we can? That's kind of later down the agenda, but I'm hoping she can call back in.
If everybody
wants to look at their calendar, maybe we can pick some possible dates or a date.
No, were we going to have possibly another meeting this month, or would this be?
Well, it's up to the committee.
When are the elections actually taking place? I'm sorry.
Well, as she was saying, the ballots are supposed to be mailed Monday of next week, and then the return deadline is the end of September. Those dates are sort of fixed in the bylaws, you know, unless there's a have to be changed for some reason. So,
it sounds like we need to. You said the mail out will be Monday of next week,
right? August 15th.
Correction, okay. Bill. She said she was planning to do Monday the 15th. But her gut feeling tells her more like Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It's going to be later. That's what she said.
Okay, right? I wasn't sure. Well, it depends a little bit on the ballot, the mailing company, the mailing house, and it'll take a few days for people to get them also after they're mailed.
Yeah, I was going to ask her about in-person listeners forum, or maybe a teleconference, or, you know, with numbers where everybody can call in, or on the air, but anyway, it would be nice.
Okay.
Because we haven't done one in years.
Just a suggestion. If we have other suggestions for the LES, is we probably should just write them down, because she's probably
please
getting buried with suggestions from lots of people. Yeah.
Bill, you're at time at 45
Bill,
minutes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I
move to extend.
Okay. How long do you want to extend, Nancy?
How many more speakers were there? Like three? Were there three or four more? How about
on the stack, the people who had not spoken yet were Eric and Grace, and then there were some repeats. Anthony. Oh, Anthony was next. Yeah, Anthony, Eric, and Grace.
Okay, I have a quick question for
you. How about
you,
15 though? More minutes? At least 15 more minutes. Maybe she'll come on. And if she doesn't, at least she can hear it.
This is Marianne, and I'd like to get on the stack also, please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She was asking last time.
Bill, I have a question for you, if I might.
Okay, is that Eric?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's deal with the time extension motion first, if we can.
Okay.
Okay, so extend 15 minutes, Nancy?
Yes.
for now?
At least.
Yeah, because
okay,
well,
whatever around you say.
If she comes
okay,
in
any objections?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's assuming she comes back. Yeah, are there any objections to extending 15 more minutes?
Well, if she comes back on at the 11th or 12th minute, you know, we're still locked into that 15-minute frame. Doesn't sound practical.
Okay. What, do you want to make a substitute?
About 20 minutes? Option? What, 20 minutes?
That sounds very plausible.
I'm sorry.
It sounds good. 20 sounds
good. I think what I'll do is, you don't want
I hear a voice in the background, somebody talking, but so whoever this may want to mute yourself. Okay, so the minimum is...
They're not talking to us. Can I be heard?
Right. So, yeah, Serene?
Can I be heard?
Yeah, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I propose we extend for 15 minutes, not including any time devoted to the NES if she's able to reconnect to the call while they're still here.
Okay, so 15 minutes, essentially 15 minutes sure. of time with the NES, you're saying? Is that what you mean?
Well, she's not here, but I think people want to put their questions on the record, right? Otherwise, what are they?
Right. Well, I just want to clarify. So 15 minutes of time with the NES. So at the time, that time doesn't start until the NES is back?
No. Extend for 15 minutes so those on the stack can state their questions, raise their issues, whatever the case is. And if the NES joins us at any point, we will stop that clock and reopen for any questions directly to her, as opposed to comments or suggestions, or which she doesn't necessarily have to respond to tonight anyway, even if she were on the call.
Okay. Well, we had the original motion was 15 minutes. The amendment was to change to 20.
Manner.
And then Serene, okay, hold on. And then I believe Serene was essentially making a substitute. Is that correct?
Nancy, with a friendly man, how about 20 minutes?
We've spent 5 minutes.
Nancy, there's already an amendment for 20 minutes to the original motion, and then Serene made a motion that I believe is a substitute.
Hello?
This is Jim. A point of clarification.
Yeah, Jim?
I took Serene's suggestion as just a clarification as to exactly what we were talking about, not another motion. In other words, we're talking about 15 minutes for ourselves to get questions in that we need to get in, and that when and if the supervisor comes back, we can deal with her questions then. Deal with our questions for her then.
Okay. It doesn't make any difference to me, whatever you folks want to do. So... Let me say it this way first. Are there any objections to what Serene and Jim were talking about? Okay, so we'll do that. Okay. Do you want to, while she's not on the call, pick some possible next meeting dates, though? Or still wait till after we...
Well, this was a question I had for you, Bill, if I might, Eric, to the fact.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Okay, if the mail out is... next Monday. The bottom line, why would we have a meeting after the bailout? I mean, I'm not trying to sound cynical, but what would be the point? What would we discuss?
Well, there's lots of issues that usually come up during the election. So, I mean, it depends on what the committee wants to go. If we have problems or issues that want to come up, or issues with maybe achieving quorum. We've had problems achieving quorum. I know at WPFW and KPFT frequently, and occasionally at KPFK. If it doesn't look like we're under each quorum, sometimes elections are extended. We probably wouldn't know that till near the end of September, though.
Okay.
I don't know. Different things could come up.
Very,
I don't want to have a
good
meeting just to be having a meeting either, though. But
okay, very good.
If you'd like to propose a date...
Jan Goodman, I have some dates.
Okay, Jan.
Okay, so two dates that are available, I've just been poring over KPFTX. August 22nd and September 7th are both available. And with regard to why we would meet, you know, if, for instance, there are more issues about carts being played or various variations of, you know, questions about how to deal with some things. They don't have to be long meetings, but if there's there are questions and issues that we need to raise or that she needs to raise and get some direction, we could have a short meeting. And it seems to me that August 22nd might be, could be early, but it'll be, it should be just after the ballots go out and if there's any problems with the ballots going out. And September 7th, you know, that might be a better meeting day.
What's the proximity of September 7th to Labor Day weekend?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's, I believe it's 2 days after Labor Day. Labor Day, I believe, is the 5th.
Well, let me just, why don't we look up, I'll look up when Labor Day is celebrated.
This is Marion in Washington. And,
yeah, Marion.
Hi, I think that having a meeting before the end of August would be prudent.
Exactly.
Even if it didn't last very long.
Yeah, I okay. agree. Better to have it sooner than later.
August 22nd sound good? Or?
And actually, Jan, on the stack.
Okay, well...
I think we should put both of those days on the... both of those days, just schedule them for an hour meeting, at least right now. So September 5th is Labor Day. Monday, September 5th is Labor Day.
This is Eric. Keep in mind, it takes us 20 to 30 minutes in some cases to make quorum.
Yeah. Seems like usually, unfortunately. What are you proposing, Eric?
No, I'm just, it's kind of just a heads up I'm giving.
Yeah.
I mean, because if we make quorum, say 20 minutes into that hour, I guess my question is, does the hour begin once we make quorum? Or is it arbitrary to cut off at 60 minutes?
We can do it either whatever way you want to do it. When we
okay.
Do that.
I would think the hour begins once we reach quorum.
When I put it out a draft agenda, I usually say a time certain adjournment time, which of course could be changed during agenda approval, but that's just so people can have some expectation that we'll be through by a certain time. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay. Well.
Okay, well, Jan has proposed August 22nd and September 7th.
And for everyone's information, September 7th is a Wednesday, and 2 days after Labor Day, and August 22nd is Monday, is a Monday.
Okay, is there any more discussion on that?
Nancy from KPFT, the 22nd is not good for me. We have management oversight committee there. And Bill and Wesley.
Is that?
And
oh, that
yeah.
is scheduled for that. That's right. Well,
yeah.
If the rest of the committee wanted to meet, that's okay with me. I mean, I probably would have to miss it then, though. But
well, I don't want to miss. Okay,
the 23rd.
When is the card?
The next day. That's a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There's nothing scheduled then on the KPFDX calendar.
Okay, how about Tuesday?
I wonder if she can meet us on a, what, the cards start playing tonight, right? Tonight as they start?
I think, I'm not sure they're all starting at the same time at all the stations, in the next few days at least, it sounds like.
The cards in Los Angeles have started already.
Let's see.
And in Berkeley.
Okay. Berkeley, okay. How about on the 18th? Is any of the KPFK members, are they a member of the programming committee?
The which day? The 18th? That's just a week from today.
The 23rd is a Tuesday, and that seems to work for people.
Well, some people work on that night.
Okay, well, let me just... Okay, so the original motion was August 22nd and September 7th. Then I believe there was an amendment to change the 22nd date to the 23rd. Can we vote on that part as an amendment?
How about 24th? Is there a conflict for 24th?
Is KPFK Personnel Committee? No.
Yes, I'm Dan. I'm
Morning committee meeting.
I have a conflict on the 24th.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mind that.
Well, there's nothing scheduled for the 23rd on the KPFDX calendar for any station. Okay, so the amendment was to change the 22nd to the date to the 23rd. Are there any objections to that? Okay, there's no objections to that. So,
I think okay, Wesley so works on the 23rd on Tuesdays.
It's starting to look like whichever date we pick so far. I mean,
how about 31st?
Okay, go ahead, Eric.
No, I'm pretty. No, I'll just let the process run it out because based on what we're hearing now, at least one of us is going to have a conflict there. We'll just let the process play itself out and see what we can come up with.
Okay, so
is there a conflict?
Right now, right now the motion is to meet on schedule meetings on August 23rd and September 7th. That's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Is there any more discussion on that motion?
September 7th, it doesn't seem practical. I mean, it's just it's later, and it's that week of the holiday. It's not a conflict for me. I just think we should have this sooner rather than later.
Well, Jan's proposal was to schedule meet both days.
Oh, I see, both days. Okay.
It may depend on the availability of Lynn Serpy. We could meet without her, though, if you want to. I guess that's another thing to decide. We could still collect questions or problems, and somebody could write it up, and we could send it to her if we wanted to meet without her.
Jan Goodman here.
Jan? Okay.
The thing about these 2 days is that they're about 2 weeks apart, and so it gives us a chance to, have some things happen and be able to address them, and then maybe more things. I think that there's no conflict with our KPFTX calendar.
Okay. My guess is that we're probably going to want to have a meeting at the end of September because that's near the end of the balloting period. But it depends on how things are going.
After we vote on these, should we vote on one for the end of September also?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah,
let's vote on these. Okay, Bob?
Yeah, I really don't see the point of meeting without Lynn. And so I think we should do what we've done each time up till now, which is we offer her some options. Because without her, we're simply expressing preferences, ideas. It's not effective. We need to have an interaction with her as we have up till now. So, in other words, if the 23rd is one option to offer her, could be the preferred option, but then if she's not available, we could offer the 30th or the 31st as alternatives. And the same, on the 7th, we could offer an alternative of maybe the 8th or something like that.
Okay.
Bill, this is Eric.
Yes.
Is it prudency to have her offer dates that she'd be available?
Well, we could do that. I'm not sure she's going to be back on the call, though.
No, I mean, not necessarily tonight, but...
Yeah.
And we could communicate by email or electronically. I mean, it's fine we come up with all these dates, but she's just, there's a conflict.
Yeah.
She can't make it.
I'd kind of rather not spend a whole lot of time on the phone doing this, but right now we're waiting for her anyway. But that's okay with me.
So, Jan,
here,
why don't we just pick these dates and ask her? If they're not available, then we'll, work via email and try to get other dates. And also one for the end of the month.
Yeah. And I do think Bob had a good point. I think it's very highly preferable to meet with her.
I agree.
If she couldn't meet on either one of those dates, or maybe she could meet on the 30th or 31st, for example.
Nancy?
You could tell us that. Okay, well, we didn't even come to the decision, though, but go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I want to ask the group, is anyone adverse to the 26th or the 19th? I know, well, 19th is too soon. The 26th, that's a Friday, also as an option, 23rd, 30, 31, 26th. I mean, is Friday that bad a problem? I mean, election committee used to do Friday a lot.
This is Eric. I'm going to drop off. Whatever date you come up with, sign. Just send me an email. I'm going to drop off now. So everybody
okay.
have a good night.
Friday okay with you?
Say again. Yeah, whichever date you come up with is fine with Eric. But I'm going to drop off now.
Great. Thank you, Eric.
Okay.
All right, good night.
This is Serene.
Bye. Okay, Serene?
Okay, so I would propose either the 23rd or the 30th, depending on which works for her, and then either the 7th or the 8th, depending on which works for her. Recognize, or I should say, you know what, make it the 7th or the 13th, and let's leave Thursday alone.
Okay, that sounds like an amendment.
The point is to give her options, correct?
Right. Okay, so Serena's suggesting August 23rd or 30th, one of those, depending on Lynn's availability, and also September 7th or 13th, depending on Lynn's availability. Is that right?
Yep.
Can we add the 31st?
Okay.
Well, it's a Wednesday instead of Tuesdays. We're doing a lot of Tuesdays. I don't know. Is Anthony Fest, is every Wednesday is bad for you, or...?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Okay, it was just that one. All right.
No, I haven't spoken to the date issue at all.
The 31st is a fifth Wednesday, so it's probably not too likely to conflict, because a lot of months don't have a fifth Wednesday. But
Can we send these options out by email, or is it going to get decided tonight?
Okay, well, I think we need to ask Lynn, but I think Serene's proposal is modified by Nancy. Let me see if this is acceptable to everybody. I'm just trying to come up with a consensus here. That we ask Lynn if she can meet on August 23rd, 30th, or 31st, and pick one of those days, and also September 7th and 13th.
Yeah.
Okay, is that any objections to that? Okay, so no, that's no objection. So that's adopted. Thank you. And if Lynn doesn't get back on the call in the next few minutes, I can email her about that.
Nancy on the set.
Okay, Nancy.
That question.
All the burning issues that people were not able to say, I would like to read them. Email and then carbon copy the committee as well to Lynn so she gets.
Okay.
You know,
could you write them up? Make sure you collect all of them, so we can send them to Lynn, like by tomorrow. Would you be able to do that, Nancy?
Well, the stuff so far, but I mean, we.
Well, the ones that she's not hearing, especially.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard anybody except me.
Well, it's I'm about to allow you all to continue, but if we're just talking and she can't hear it and she doesn't know what the questions are, then we're not going to get the answers.
So go ahead. Yeah, that's a good idea. This is supposed to be archived, so I can. I don't have a tape recorder going, so.
Okay.
Why don't
we should
continue?
We continue with the stack then?
Yes, please. I would like that.
All right. I believe Anthony was next.
Yeah, I had two questions for Lynn. The first was, had the address lists been provided to the mailing houses that are doing mailings for the caucuses or parties or whatever you call them? Or if not, whether there were any holdups and what was the nature of those holdups toward providing those lists to the mailing houses? And the other question was when the online balloting would start, whether it's automatically hooked to the mailing date. If the mailing date slips 2 days, will the online balloting date automatically slip 2 days? And if so, what is the spread between the paper ballot mailing date and the opening of email balloting?
Okay, did you get that, Nancy? I might be able to partially answer.
Okay.
I know she did say that the apparently there were some delays in getting the forms, the non-disclosure agreements or whatever it was from the mailing houses, but I don't know if they've gotten them all yet. Did you get those questions though, Nancy? Or can you get them from the audio?
But I don't understand them. I thought she said she was
thinking it's not quite ready by 15th, and it'll be like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the mailing to be able to have all everything done to mail out. Is that what he means?
I didn't hear that. I heard her say everything's ready on the 15th, but I'm curious as to my second question, if it somehow did get delayed, would the opening of email balloting also be delayed?
I think she said that. Yeah, it sounded like to me that their goal was to mail them on the 15th. I mean, I guess she's dependent a little bit on the mailing house, but that's. And the post office, perhaps, but that was the goal. And I think she'd indicated that the email balloting would probably start a few days later. I'm not sure about that, though. So we'll have to ask her that. That's a good question. Okay. Do you have any other questions, Anthony?
Just those two.
Okay. And let's see. Next on the stack was Eric. Oh, he dropped off.
Eric. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Grace.
Yes, I just have two suggestions. One is that because email reminders or email ballots often get lost in spam folders, that first of all, that if possible, send the reminders from two or more separate emails so that maybe one will get through if the other one doesn't. That's the first suggestion. The second suggestion is that on the air, especially toward the end of the, toward the deadline for returning the ballots, that it be mentioned that people should look in their spam folders and give them the exact dates that the reminders are sent out so that they can vote online, because people can actually look for the specific email at the date that they were sent out and the time if possible, and locate the ballot easily. We did that last year with much success, because sometimes people have hundreds and hundreds of emails and it's really almost impossible to find one email from a month before or whatever. So I would make those suggestions.
Thank you. Let me just ask, as a way of implementing that first part too, I assume we're all on our own individual stations' email lists. I mean, I know at KPFT they're sent out every week or two or three, depending on what's going on, and that's one option. Besides being sent out from True Ballot, maybe they could supply the text for the station to send out the information on their own. The rule is that it wouldn't work for individualized login credentials for online voting, though.
Is somebody just...
Is that Lynn?
No, this is Marion.
Okay. Well, anyway, did you get those questions of racist, though, Nancy?
Yes.
Or the suggestions?
I think Marion is overdue for her remarks.
I'm sorry, can I... This is Serene.
Okay. Yeah, well, Marion's second on the stack, but did you have a question about...
No, I'm not trying.
Said?
Yeah, I'm not trying to get on the stack.
I'm on the stack after everybody was finished. Remember me?
Yeah. Okay, can we go back on to Marion? We haven't gotten to her.
May I ask my question?
Oh, okay, if it's relevant to this one. Because I do... Marion hasn't spoken yet, but if it's relevant to Drace's question...
I recognize that. I'm not trying again. I did ask for the stack again, you know, for a second time, but I recognize that is not this.
I do have you on the stack.
My
a second
question, okay, please, just let me say what I'm saying. My point is that people should send a summary of their own questions rather than asking Nancy to paraphrase them and to try to get all of that done without listening to the tape again tonight to get the questions to Lynn, you know, in a day or two. People should send their own questions. They're clear about what they asked.
Good idea. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that. Marion, I believe you're next.
I'm sorry, and when I say send, I mean send it to the committee or send it to Nancy, not send it to Lynn.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, Marion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Marion, if you missed what we were doing, you know, Lynn dropped off, and so
yeah,
we're making
yeah,
a list
I was
of questions. Okay.
Uh-huh. and then I had to get off briefly. But okay. No, I just had a general comment about WPFW and our listening area, because I have never really completely understood, as a broadcaster, you know, started broadcasting in the 1970s, okay, earned my license and stuff. But this situation of being, and I'm from D.C., the situation of a community, it's not just Washington, but Washington has specific history, demography, et cetera, which is all being undermined now, deliberately. But to have this connection to Pacifica based in a place like California and the Bay Area, which I know a bit, having been there, having family out there and so forth, and it's so demographically, politically, and culturally absolutely different that I'm just not comfortable with. I think it's very ambitious, but Washington, we are in a situation to this day, unlike any of the rest of you, and I've mentioned this before, I think, but the fact that we do not even have, we are not allowed to participate in our own self-governance. We are not equal to California or Texas or even Virginia, our own neighbors, Virginia and Maryland. We have no representation in the United States Senate and only minimal, like as if we were a territory out in the Pacific or something, which we shouldn't have those territories anyway. But that's how we're classified with regard to a so-called delegate in the House of Representatives. So when we get down, and it's very hard to talk about this being from Washington, but it's really necessary. Other people in around the country, they think, when they hear Washington, they don't think about our local community. Bottom line is that we have this local election supervisor, and maybe to nobody else it wasn't a big deal how someone who is, I don't like to do this, but I have to, but he's atypical of the population here. And also, when we are in a situation of people of color, a majority Black American population having been undermined, being ethnically cleansed, with a growing Latino population, we have Native Americans here, we have an Asian, Pacific Islander, mainly Asian population that goes back a number of generations, and not to use an opportunity like this of picking a local election officer and allowing us to give that opportunity to somebody in this community. Now, yes, okay, I remember 3 years ago when I was elected, we had a Black American fellow was the local election supervisor. But it isn't about just one thing, and it's about understanding everybody in this game that's called the United States. We are not operating neither on the same page and not on the same level. And other people take things for granted that some of us do not have, which is, I think, a serious factor, one of the reasons why we have so few candidates here. So I just wanted to share that, and unfortunately Lynn's not on right now. But what's routine to other people, and then to dictate to us, I think, because this fellow, I don't remember him from the previous time, but I was told he was the same person last time. I haven't asked anybody the details of why they were dissatisfied. It's not about him as a particular individual, but it's just that having lived all over the United States and also worked in organizations representing, picked by this country, the State Department, and working in international missions and seeing how the United States basically screws over Native Americans and Black Americans in particular, you know, and we never get it. Our name never comes up in certain aspects, you know, including the U.S. presidency, which is not a Black American, by the way. So I just, you know, it isn't just about this LES, but it's also the United States. We had the Kerner Commission report. If anybody here is not familiar with the Kerner Commission report from, what was that, 1967, the riot, the report after the riot, and the role of the media, the problem of representation and participation, that problem is not finished in Washington, D.C., just because we have PFW for 30 or so years. So I want to, I'll stop there because it's a larger issue. But there's so much that's just under the surface. We're dealing with some surface issues in so many ways, and we never get deeper. So I would say the Kerner Commission report, we should all read that. If something, if this station does not survive here in this kind of a media market and the underrepresentation, the marginalization of a majority community for as long as we have been marginalized, you know, this WTFW is more than just another media outlet, as are the other Pacifica stations, politically the way the United States is, but it's a combination of things here. The descendants of the enslaved right here, you know, my family, and the folks whose families have been sharecropping and had been for that in slavery in Maryland and Virginia and North Carolina and stuff, who came here for opportunities. This station has a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and we are supposed to be, you know, accountable to the residents here. I don't know if the people in California understand that or in the Pacifica headquarters. I kind of doubt it. But I think that we need to really have an open conversation. We really need to do something, not our committee, obviously. But I don't know if Pacifica has ever had a discussion about the Kerner Commission report and the role of the media, you know, in racial issues in the country. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And for those of you don't know, I remember seeing an article on Wikipedia about the Kerner Commission. Is it K-E-R-N-E-R, I believe?
Yes, yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
And it might be an interesting show.
Name too.
I'm not sure necessarily it would fit with the elections, but it sounds like a good topic to.
Actually, we should have something
we could cover on the air
nationally on PFW. Yeah. It really needs that. It really absolutely, because a lot of people don't even know. They didn't know then, and people who have known have forgotten that this even that they don't know the report. But as a broadcaster, as a journalist, I'm appalled at my own so-called colleagues who have just gone along to get along for the last umpteen years. And but we have a bigger responsibility, WPFW financially, the people who have supported this station, who can no longer carry the station on their backs the way they have, and also to be actively under attack. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And that does sound like it would be an interesting show. I don't know who might produce it, but maybe you could ask around, and it could be produced at WPFW or any or all of our stations. It would be nice.
Yeah,
to,
maybe we need to share it. We need to share it, you know. Okay, thank you. Well, I'll follow up on that. Thank you.
And okay. If you have anything specifically for Lynn, though, as Bob was suggesting, it'd be good to write.
Well,
that
I wanted Lynn to hear what I had to say about this LES issue.
Okay.
But I can talk with her about it later, or you know, convey that later. Yeah.
Okay.
The ship has sailed, as they say.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Well, let's see. We only have about nine and a half minutes we're scheduled to adjourn. I think we went through the stack already. Who was on the first time, and then we had second time for Jan and Serene. So, Jan, I remember what you were going to say.
Yeah, just briefly, I wanted to ask, you know, like, where is the CART rotation listed for KPFK? And I'll send that to Nancy.
Okay.
Bill?
And there was, you know, the things that we started discussing before we went on to Lynn, I thought were significant, and I would like to get to that after Serene takes her turn.
Okay. Serene?
Okay, so I'd ask to get back on the stack because I wanted to continue the discussion of how the Fair Campaign Provisions violations of the FCP are being handled. It is crucial that they be handled. I mean, you do want, obviously, to, you know, investigate and to give people an opportunity to respond, but it has to be handled in a fairly timely manner. Otherwise, it's irrelevant. You know, the elections are going to end when the elections are going to end. People are going to have ballots starting next week. And there have been a number of serious violations, including by management, that in some areas I think have so poisoned the atmosphere that I don't know that a fair election is possible. So if something isn't remedied within a certain period of time, the damage is done and cannot effectively be reversed. No one can be made whole from whatever has occurred. And I will be specific. I will say that in Houston, there's a cart apparently that was complained about at least a month ago that was still running that says if you, before you vote, ask the manager. It's crazy. Why is that on our air during an election? Why is that on our air? You know, so some things have to, and I won't repeat myself. I'm just stunned that we're still looking at that situation. How on earth is that possible? That's one. Two, I wanted, and I will send this, wanted to know about how many people have returned their fair campaign provision agreement or acknowledgement. I think it's important. I think it's sufficiently important that while I recognize that station operations and the need to do programming are obviously crucial, there's so much happening in the world that our folks need to know about and to share with other listeners. But if someone has not return their fair campaign provision agreement, I don't know that they should be on the air. Right? So obviously that's not a decision that this committee can take, but until violations of the fair campaign provisions are taken seriously and people have to reckon with the consequences of their behavior at whatever level they operate within Pacifica, spending all this money on elections does not make sense. That's what
okay.
I wanted to say. Thanks.
Okay, and I don't know if this would answer your question. I don't remember hearing that cart you were talking about. Is it still being played?
As of last week, it was still on the air.
Okay, well, if somebody can give me a time that I can listen to it, I don't remember ever hearing a cart that said that, but
right, just
I'm obviously not. I'm not listening 24/7, of course.
Well, just to be clear, though, my statement is for the committee and obviously for the NES. You're telling me that you haven't heard it.
Well, I'm curious, and I just
it's not particularly relevant. Well, then you should put yourself on the stack.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to respond. I know in general, Lynn has told us in the past that the more specific information, the better in complaints. So if somebody hears something on the air, it helps to say exactly when they heard it, the day and time, so that she or the LES can go back and check that. Okay.
Charles, can I get on the stack?
Okay. Well, go ahead then, Charles. You haven't spoken in a while.
A question to the last speaker. I'm sorry. I don't know everybody's name by voice. Are you aware of the name of the person whose card it is? Wouldn't that be relevant to include in this information?
The election supervisor has already been notified about this card. The election supervisor, in fact, I think we talked about this during our last call, last month sometime. The general manager is responsible for everything that happens at the station. Once a violation is brought to his or her attention, it is their responsibility through whatever mechanism to control what goes off on our air. It's their responsibility to get that off the air.
Okay, so can I continue? So,
yeah, go ahead.
It would also, it would seem to be the responsibility of this committee to bring it once again, if this is still happening, to bring it once again to both the attention of the national board and the manager of the station and the LES of that station.
May I respond?
Okay, go ahead, Doreen.
So, you know, this may come to the PMB during an election committee report, if there is one, but the most immediate action has to be taken by the election supervisors. This committee does not have the authority to direct any manager. Only the ED can direct the station managers or the NES when it's an election-related matter. So we can't contact the GM and say, do you know what's happening there? Do you know what you're doing? You know, and as I said, it's not a secret either to the GM or the election supervisors. They're aware of the continued or have been informed of the continued violation. I have no reason to believe the transmissions did not get to them. But I'll send my note to Nancy so we can be sure that it gets to Lynn, you know, along with the other issues of concern.
And just a general thing to anybody, you know, on this committee or anybody listening to the meeting on the stream or whatever, I know Lynn has asked in the past, too, that if you do have a complaint, go to the website, to the form. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's elections.pacifica.org. If you forget where to find that, there's probably a link on each of our station's websites and on pacifica.org for the elections, and then look for the complaint form. And it does help to be, what she has said, to be as specific as possible. If you know who said something or didn't or failed to say something they should have on the air, put the person's name and the date and the time and all that, because the LES will probably need to go back and check the audio recordings for that show, and if they don't know where to look, then they're probably not going to be able to find it. So, okay, well, we're almost out of our meeting adjournment time. Any other quick things for anybody?
Nancy, KPFT.
Okay, Nancy.
Yes, if you find a violation or you want to, it's not directly stated in the Fair Campaigns provision, then you just want the NES to please investigate. Put please investigate in the subject line and take a picture of it before you hit submit, because there have been reported incidents where it just disappears and the NES and the LES don't get it at all. Something not right is going on. But, you know, this is election time. So take a picture of it before and you send it, and then make sure you get a telephone call to the LES and that you've sent it.
Okay.
This is Grace. I think Jen has to be on the stack.
Well, okay, it is 9:30. Yeah. Time.
Jen spoke.
Well, I think Jan wanted to be on again, but Jan, if you want to speak some more, you need to ask to extend time.
No, I spoke. It was very short.
Okay. Well, I guess we're done with the stack and as much of the agenda as we could do, and appreciate everybody's...
Sorry, Bill. If people
yes,
have 1 minute, I can actually play them the material in question. If anyone wants
to... If it's online, can you just send a link to everybody? Well, go ahead. All right. Go ahead and play it.
In June, KPFT was seeking listeners like you to run for our board of directors, and you responded. In the coming weeks, you'll be hearing statements by candidates seeking your vote, candidate forums in which candidates will speak to you, and more efforts to educate you about the 2016 board election. Please note that candidate statements may not represent the views of KPFT. You're encouraged to research candidate statements, ask the general manager, and cast an informed vote in the interest of a diverse and multi-talented board of directors. Listener members are eligible to vote for our board. You can donate today to become...
Okay. Anybody there?
Yeah, okay. We're there.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, the rest goes on to tell people they can donate to be eligible to vote, but of course that's not true, but whatever.
Okay, well, I suggest you file a complaint if you haven't already and ask if that's still being played or what actions were taken, something like that. I don't know if it's been played or not.
This was played last week.
Okay.
Perhaps since then, but certainly last week.
Goodman on the stack.
Okay. Well, having the exact time will help them figure out which PSA it is, because there are a lot of different promos being played, I know. Okay, well, we're out of town, so time, so Jan, if you want to bring up something else, we need to extend time. Jan?
Time for 5 minutes, please, to discuss this. I'd like to make a motion on it.
Okay, so we move to extend time 5 minutes?
I'm sorry. Point of information.
Can you be more specific than Jan?
Yes, I'd like to move that this committee, as a whole, state that this is an inappropriate cart because it asks for people to refer to the management, and that it should be pulled immediately.
Okay.
But your
motion is to extend time for 5 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
My motion is to extend time for 5 minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we're extended for 5 minutes. So go ahead, Jan. You want to make your motion then?
I would like to move that this committee as a whole request.
I hear music. I can't hear you, Jan.
Okay, somebody else is playing the music. But I would like to make a motion that this committee request that cart be pulled immediately because it suggests talking to the management, and that's inappropriate. And I think this is a perfect thing for this committee to do.
Okay.
Hold on, please. Can I get another stack?
Is that Wesley?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Wesley.
Do you know who Slate said you're supporting?
What? What did you say?
I thought you might know, Bill.
I can't understand your question.
No, do you know what Slate, the manager at KPFT, is supporting? I thought you might be privy to that information.
Right now we're discussing Jan's motion about that cart.
All right.
I don't care who anybody supports. It's in an inappropriate cart, and it should come off.
I agree.
Okay.
Right, but if such a card has been playing, I think maybe Wesley's point, if such a card has been playing and people have been calling the manager, and this is not the first incident where that manager seems to be inappropriately involved in board elections, but if he's recommending a particular slate, there are a particular group of people who have benefited by the continued playing of this card. So his question is not something you should just brush off, Bill, if you know the answer. If you don't, if you have no clue, then you should say that.
Okay, I'm not objecting to the motion. So, I'm sorry, I just want to see if anybody else wanted to speak on it.
Yeah, Anthony here. I just have a comment.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
Anthony?
Am I missing something?
Yeah, I agree with this motion. It looks like the thing may have been originally designed as an informational cart, and had it said, contact the election supervisor, then it would have been an okay card. But somehow, I have no idea how, I haven't heard it before, it says general manager, where it ought to say election supervisor. So instead of being a innocuous informational card, now it is this toxic thing that's you know, biasing the everyone who listens to it, or potentially biasing people who listen to it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it might be one that was recorded before the LES was hired, but I'm just guessing. And they got
this is doing.
Yeah, then they should not be playing it now, though. Yeah. Okay. Well, before you talk again, Serene, anybody else want to speak about this motion?
Well, actually,
okay,
kind of a motion. I have what may be a point of order.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so as strongly as I feel about, as I said, sort of pattern of behavior here, I also question whether this conversation should be continued in open session since it involves personnel. So I'm not disagreeing with the thrust of the motion. I just wonder how far we can really go on this discussion. You're the chair.
Well, the motion's to remove the cart. I don't have a problem with that. And so we're about out of time where the extension is. Is there any objections to the motion? The motion was, what was it, Jan, just to remove this cart from AirPlay?
Yes, immediately.
Okay. Are there any objections?
I'm sorry, this is...
Serene?
Okay, so I will go on record as abstaining from the motion because I'm not sure that a motion that says stop doing something you were told to stop doing without any other action is truly meaningful.
Okay. Well, all right. Can you call the roll in, Nancy?
Oh, okay. Just my lost eye.
That's right. Interesting.
I have a concern. Isn't this? Are we stepping?
Okay.
In?
Well, we're out of time for the extension. Unless you want to extend time again.
Please. Can we just call roll and take roll and vote and be done with it?
Or can we just note that there's no objections other than? Serene wanted to abstain. Is that okay?
Yes.
Anybody object to doing that?
Well, look, I'm not... This is Nancy. I feel like we're getting into NES territory. Isn't this... I mean, we can make an expression and agree on it, but...
Well, that's what we're doing.
The motion was to remove the cart from AirPlay. That's pretty explicit.
The motion was to request... that the cart be removed.
Well, sure, right. We can't
so
order
it. So we're requesting the NES to remove the cart. She can do it or not do it, but we're...
Okay.
...that request.
Okay.
Itchy. How about, you know...
And, Serene, could you email me the recording so I can... the whole recording, or at least enough of it, so that I could send it to Lynn? So she won't have to go back and dig through this... meeting audio to find it.
I will send it to the committee and Nancy.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
So I didn't believe I heard any objections to recording this motion is approved without objection but with Serene abstaining. Is that correct? Okay. And I believe we're out of time. And thank you all for participating. And I will ask Lynn about those dates that we decided on for the next meeting or next meetings. So thank you again.
Point of information, if there's an abstention, do you have to vote still?
Well, I asked if there was any objections to recording it that way, and there were no objections to recording it that way. I'm just trying to save time.
So you don't have to have a roll call vote.
Okay. Bill?
Who's that?
Bill?
Yeah. Is that Adriana?
Yes,
Adriana?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I don't know if you have a minute and the committee wants to be sent just a minute that something that I have to say.
I can't quite understand what you're saying, but we're past time.
She's asking to make a statement. I'm extending for 2 minutes so that she can.
Okay, Serena's moving to extend for how long?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Are there any objections to extending for 2 minutes so Adriana can make a statement?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing no objections to extend 2 minutes. Go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. Obviously, the noise is coming, but I made that complaint twice, and we know that the managers were asked not to play a long time ago, and that keep playing. I think that we need to go further, and that is where we need to go to executive session. I believe that is not you. The national election supervisor and the local election supervisor, and everybody knows that it's the complaint, and I send a copy of those cards that are in place in Sever. And they get us to take it up there, but it's not there. That is the statement that I want to do. It's not that nobody knows about it. Everybody knows about it.
Okay, it's really difficult to hear you.
Yeah, I know, because see somebody making some noise in a moment. Yeah.
Okay, well,
point of
I will, we've already passed the motion, and so I'm going to pass it along to the NES and credit it.
Do we have an email?
I cannot, I know what you're saying, Nancy. It's too much noise.
Yeah, they only let off Bill or some of these people, but not all of us. Yeah, I know. That's for me, the PMB meetings.
This is Charles. We're 12 minutes over. I move that we adjourn.
We're past the time for that, and we're past the extension, so we don't even need a motion for that. So, I adjourn, and looking forward to that email, and I'll pass that along to our national election supervisor.
She already has it, Bill.
Okay, well, I'll ask again. I'll ask.
Thanks, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.